Welcome to Health Yeah, where experts from Stony Brook Medicine come together to discuss topics ranging from the complex inner workings of an infectious disease to tips and tricks for staying safe and healthy all year long.
Hello, my name is Sharon Nachman. I'm the Division Chief for Pediatric Infectious Disease at Stony Brook Children. I'm here today with two of my colleagues to talk about measles. Susan, please introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Dr. Susan Donlin. I'm an infectious diseases adult physician by training. I also serve as the medical epidemiologist for all of Stony Brook Medicine.
And Lori?
I'm Dr. Lori Ellis. I am a general pediatrician at Stony Brook Children's at the Smithtown office.
Thank you. So we're hearing a lot about measles in the news, and I'm sure you're like me, getting constant texts and emails from all your friends and neighbors asking what to do. So Lori, what are the things you're hearing about in the office?
A lot of fear and people scared that measles is here again. People asking what do they need to do to protect themselves is really the biggest question that's coming up. So my first recommendation is to make sure you're vaccinated. Check your vaccine status, talk to your primary care doctor, and see if you're vaccinated.
So Susan, I'm sure you're really hearing a lot about how the hospital outpatient practices mm-hmm. are getting ready. Mm-hmm. What kind of information can you share with us?
Well, even before COVID, we have been putting into place questions for people calling in to see what their symptoms are and to see where they've been, if they traveled, that type of thing. And as with COVID, when patients are potentially infectious, sometimes we have them wait in the car. For COVID, we had them swabbed. So we may have people waiting in the car until we can prepare a room for them, especially in the outpatient areas, prepare a room for them that they can be safely evaluated in. In the emergency department, in triage, we have a process called identify, isolate, and inform. And that's really good for any potential right. incoming infectious diseases. And so far, that's been working well.
So, Lori, I'm sure you're getting asked a lot about how contagious is measles. What do you tell families?
So measles is contagious. It is really contagious. So thankfully, the vaccine works. So by being vaccinated, it does protect you. But if you are in a room with someone who is measles and you're not vaccinated, then there's really a good chance that you yourself will contract measles.
So as you can imagine, measles is one of our most highly infectious viruses. We tell families it aerosolizes or it's in the air for 20 to 60 feet after someone's coughed or been breathing. So you're right. Even after you left the room, it's still there. But even when you have a child walking down the hallway and you didn't know they were there and you walk into that same hallway, you or your child can still get measles. So what are we doing about that for our hospital and telling our staff about how contagious the virus is?
Well, we do have information both on the external facing website as well as the internal facing website, which will be more specific for healthcare workers. The best thing to do is if you think someone has measles, just like flu or something like that, you put a mask on them. If they are able to wear a mask, then a well-fitted surgical mask will at least minimize transmission before we can have them escorted into the proper room.
Right. And you're right. We don't want them walking around any of the places. And, you know, I always worry about going to the grocery store and looking around and saying, oh, no, does that person have a rash or does that someone else have a rash? So I guess the question then comes up for the families who have children that are under a year of age and they can't get a vaccine. What kind of advice are you giving those families?
So children 6 months to 11 months old, they can actually get the vaccine early in the setting of outbreak settings. So we definitely have that available. Or if we're planning on traveling to an area where measles is running rampant, we would recommend those children to be vaccinated. For children under 6 months of age, they're actually still protected from mom's antibodies. However, what we recommend is just trying to keep your bubble safe. You want to have everybody who you're around know that they're vaccinated, know that they're protected.
Right. Most of the women who are having babies these days are from that, I want to say, young adult to about 45 years of age. And for those people, they've all gotten probably two doses of vaccine. So those babies are, in fact, protected. Who's not protected? Believe it or not, we do have adults who have not been vaccinated. So while they themselves are not protected, neither are their infants. And I guess the question also comes up, what about our older population? What are you telling those families?
Well, many of the people who were born before 1957 were naturally immunized by virtue of the fact that they actually got measles. Many times that lasts for the lifetime. There are some people that are immune compromised or have hematologic problems. People that are immune compromised should talk to their physicians. They may want to have measurements made of their immunity or discuss whether, if they lack immunity for some reason, whether something like immune globulin would be indicated in case they get exposed.
Right. It's the setting. It's all about
who are you?
Where are you going? Where you've been? And I agree with you, the families that are traveling, they're going to areas that have lots of measles, and we need to make sure that they don't get measles while they're away and they don't bring it back to us.
I think it's also important to recognize that, you know, we live in a very multicultural population, and there are people that come from elsewhere whose vaccination records are not going to be in our New York State system. They may not know what their vaccine status is. They may not recall whether they had measles or not. And so they may, in fact, also be susceptible. I suggest that anyone who is not sure about their vaccination status or their status as to whether they had measles should, before they are exposed or before it becomes rampant in their community, check with a healthcare provider to see if they in fact are already immune or they need a dose of vaccine.
And remember, this vaccine is available at all of the pharmacies across Long Island and even in New York. So it's not hard to find it, and it's available and easy to administer. And extra doses of the vaccine, in fact, do not cause any harm.
True.
If you've had the virus and you get a dose of vaccine, good news, we've boosted your immunity. If you haven't had the virus and just got a prior vaccine, good news, another dose of vaccine also only boosts your immunity. Mm-hmm. So there's really, as you said, no downside to getting an extra dose of vaccine, either if you've had disease and didn't know it, or had vaccine and you also don't know it. And I'm sure you're all hearing about, well, how about if I just take vitamin A? Am I going to be protected? Or cod liver oil? Lori, what do you tell the families about the vitamin A? Which is the right setting for it to be used in?
So thankfully, that question actually hasn't come up. More of my questions have been, when can I get my child vaccinated? Is my child fully vaccinated? And those are the questions I prefer. But as far as the cod liver oil and the vitamin A, that's really in the hospital setting. It's definitely not something I am recommending in preparation or in anticipation.
So interestingly enough, the vitamin A is indicated for children who are malnourished and who have measles. And I want to say politely, I suspect our children in Long Island are really not malnourished. What's nice about the food source in the United States is there's lots of foods that already have vitamin A in them. So the likelihood that we'll see a malnourished child on Long Island or someone who's deficient in vitamin A is vanishingly small. So thinking that vitamin A is going to protect? Absolutely not. Will it help treat someone who in fact has measles? Well, we certainly would administer it, but the likelihood that it's going to help in any way, it really won't. And I'm sure, Susan, you're hearing questions about patients who have measles and they get measles pneumonia. Where's the reason to give an antibiotic in those situations?
If there's a suspicion for bacterial superinfection of the damage that has been caused by the viral pneumonia, then that would be an indication for antibiotics. But antibiotics per se do not work in the setting of a viral infection.
Right. I guess it bears repeating that antibiotics are good for bacteria. They don't do anything for viruses.
Exactly.
And the other thing I sort of wanted to comment about is this whole discussion I'm hearing about cod liver oil. And what are your thoughts on cod liver oil? I can tell you mine, in that cod liver oil is something that is not FDA approved. So in fact, it's considered a food. And we really don't know what's in that type of supplement. And I always tell families, you have to be careful what your child is taking. You really want to know what's in that product. And something that's not regulated, probably not the best thing to be using. Susan, have you heard people using it?
Fortunately, I have not. I don't think it is as I know that it's been in the news, but most people have made their own opinions of it, and I'm not usually approached for those kinds of questions.
So I'm sure you've seen lots of pictures of kids with measles. What are the things you tell parents to look for?
So measles starts kind of like your normal virus, which is one of the reasons it probably gets spread so easily. It starts with a cough, runny nose, red eyes, and fevers. One of the more specific things with measles, these little white grayish spots that you have in the inside of your mouth that happen about 2 to 3 days into the respiratory symptoms. And then around 3 to 5 days into the illness, you get this rash from head to toe. So when I was in medical school, when we were learning about measles, we learned about like you're dumping a bucket of measles paint on your head. It goes from your head all the way down.
Right.
And kids are also pretty angry and they're sad and they're mad.
And they're very cranky. And I think it's really important to remember that before that very first sign of any kind of rash, they are really highly infectious. Too often I hear of families that have to go to work and the child has some fever and feeling unwell. Oh, just give them some Tylenol or Motrin and send them to school. This is probably not the right time to do that. And so what are we hearing about now if there's an outbreak in school? What are the kind of advice we should be telling all of our community?
Well, I think that, you know, if there's an outbreak in the schools, then the local departments of health will be directing much of the community mitigation strategies for maintenance. But everyone should know their immune status before it hits your neighborhood and your school. If you are having an outbreak in the school, you want to talk to the pediatrician to see if you have any children that are eligible for either an early vaccine between 6 and 11 months because of the outbreak situation, or if they're due for their 12 to 15 months, or their 4 to 6, which can be also given early if need be in an outbreak setting. You want to also make sure that you're on the outlook for any low-grade fever, cough, runny nose, watery red eyes. And when the fever is not so prominent then, that kids are often getting something like a children's cold and flu, and that has some Tylenol in it or Advil. When the rash hits, that's when the fever really spikes.
Skyrockets.
And you want to make sure that you're aware of your own family's health and you take the proper precautions to prevent anything from spreading to others.
When I tell families who say to me, I guess it's okay if my kid gets measles, they'll be just fine afterwards. As you can imagine, that's definitely not true. And one of the things I tell them is that besides the fever and the flu-like illness and the rash, measles also causes a very bad pneumonia and also causes inflammation of the brain. And we don't want to see either of those. So, Lori, are you seeing a lot of families now who are due for their year 4 dose coming in early? What do you tell them?
So I'm happy to vaccinate and give an early dose if there is worrying, you know, since it's around and it might start to be locally. I'm also recommending to consider keeping an eye out on the news and to see how local it is and if it really is right in our backyard. But it's completely safe. It's protective, and it also counts towards a childhood vaccine schedule if you give the second dose of measles as soon as 28 days after the first dose.
Right, and that's really, really important. This idea that, oh, if I didn't give it at 4 years, it doesn't count. No.
That's not true.
Just not true. And I think that's really important for families. If we do see more cases, we will be recommending that children come in early. Remember, it's not just the school-age children. It's the children in daycare who are going to be exposed. And we've all seen children in daycare sharing toys and coughing and breathing on each other all the time while they're away.
I think one of the things that's also important, now that you mentioned your own backyard type of thing, a lot of people that I've been talking to in the last week or so were really, you know, fixated on the idea that it was in New Mexico and Texas and not here. But what we're seeing is, while that may be the ones that are in the news, the fact is that there are cases of measles in the New York metro area, as well as the states in the surrounding New York and in the Northeast. So I think the preparation for coming into your neighborhood or coming into your school, this is the time.
Right. The measles cases that we've seen in New York were perhaps not related to the Texas-New Mexico
Correct.
Outbreak. And why did those come? Well, it's very easy. Those children were traveling out of country, out of state. They're not vaccinated. And they are absolutely, absolutely able to get measles someplace else and bring it to New York. So you're right. Thinking that, oh, we're not close to Texas, it's not coming here. Measles gets on a plane just like any passenger does and flies any place it wants to around the world. It doesn't care who you are, where you're from.
We have 3 international airports in close proximity to where we live. We have to remember that.
And measles gets on planes very, very easily.
Exactly.
Lori, any other advice that you're giving families about measles vaccine and autism or any links or no links?
Well, the MMR vaccine is 100% definitely safe. There's no link between autism and the MMR vaccine. And actually, thankfully, that question hasn't been coming up as often lately. And I feel like the word has gotten out that the measles vaccine really is safe.
Right. And I think it bears worth repeating is that study after study has shown quite nicely that there is absolutely zero link between measles vaccine and autism. People always thought there might have been something because we see autism in young children and young children get vaccines. But in fact, the data does not support it, and there is essentially no link.
I think we also have to remember this vaccine saves lives.
Right, and that can't be said often enough. Measles does kill, and we recently saw of two deaths, one an adult who was not vaccinated, mm-hmm. and one in a school-aged child who was not vaccinated. And those were both regular, healthy individuals that were not malnourished, had no comorbidities or anything. They still died of their measles. Mm-hmm. What's the hospitalization rates that we expect in measles?
You know, traditionally, we're looking at approximately one out of every four persons potentially requiring hospitalization. Of course, it depends upon whether they have had any vaccine, one vaccine, or occasionally two vaccines. But for the unvaccinated population, we can expect approximately 25% hospitalization rates.
And that's what we're seeing now in New Mexico and Texas. About 20 to 25% of those children and adults who are not vaccinated or have no record of vaccine, those are the ones who are getting hospitalized. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, Lori, for the families who perhaps have traveled or got into contact with someone with measles? What are you doing for the other children in those houses?
So assessing everybody's vaccine status, seeing who's protected and who's not. If there's a young child in the home who is over the age of 6 months, I would recommend an early vaccination for that child. And hopefully everybody is protected.
Right. Close observation. Yes, we do a lot of telemedicine. Mm-hmm. Yes. Find out what's going on. And telemedicine has really brought about a change. And how we talk to those families, because we can now see them and talk to them and see the child at the same time. And that really does help quite a bit.
One of the best things that came from COVID.
Well, I don't like to think of it that way, but we would have gotten there anyway.
Well, that is our suggestion. Faster.
That is our recommendation for anybody who has any concerns about their child having measles, any symptoms of measles, would be to call and to schedule a telehealth visit.
Mm-hmm. And telehealth works on your computer and on your phone mm-hmm. and can be done in your car. I've seen people doing telemedicine while they're driving or parked. But yes, and it really makes a big difference because you can see someone right away.
Yep.
And I imagine
protect everybody else while seeing and medically assessing them.
And I imagine you have no issue with enough measles vaccine or MMR vaccine.
Nope, none at all.
Anything you want to add about?
Yeah, I think, you know, just as I would say that, you know, in the current climate, it's a good idea to understand your vaccination status. I think this is also an excellent opportunity to make sure that your telehealth system is set up for your primary care. You don't want to try to figure that out when you need it.
Rolling.
You know, get it done and make sure that you're on the patient portal. Make sure you know how to do telehealth and check your immunization status.
Great. I think we've talked about measles vaccine, how safe and effective it is. We've talked about treatments that only perhaps work in malnourished children, but don't represent our patient population we have.
And could even cause harm if taken.
Right. Thinking you're taking something and getting measles and thinking that's sufficient is just not going to work. So I think that we are very lucky. We live in Long Island. We have enough measles vaccine around. We have enough providers and we know how to reach them. And we have a great New York State Department of Health. And they are aggressive about looking into each case of measles or possible measles. And we have the labs that can be run to prove if someone has measles or not. So thank you very much. This has been really helpful, and we look forward to hearing more discussions about how to prevent measles and get your vaccine.
Stony Brook Medicine is Long Island's premier academic medical center, We transform lives through scientific discovery, education, and care. And we bring together innovative research, advanced education, and extraordinary healthcare expertise to set the standard for how healthy communities thrive. For more information, visit stonybrookmedicine.edu or follow us on social media, Stony Brook Medicine on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn, and Stony Brook Med on X.